Lord, we come to you, and we come in the name of Jesus, your Son. Almighty God, we worship you and we bless your holy name. We want to say thank you for the mercies you've given us. Not least, Lord, an appreciation and an understanding of your great love for us. Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you you've given us the Bible, your word, Lord. We ask you to help us as we come to look at what it says here this morning. Lord, may we see and marvel at the greatness and the depth of your love for us. Lord, how great you are. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, do you recognise the picture?
The Turing Shroud.
Yes. Interesting thing that is, to be honest. I saw an article some years, maybe a year ago. It's not produced. The Turing Shroud isn't produced by stains from a body. It has to be done. It appears to have been done photographically. How could that happen? If that's genuine, then something happened to Jesus to produce a mass of light, to produce that effect on the material. Anyway, whether it's genuine or not, the question we're looking at this morning from the passage we're going to be looking at is, who is this Jesus? What is he? What's he doing? What's it all about? And that's a really important thing to think about. If you don't understand and you don't know who Jesus is, then you're in trouble. That's as hard as it gets, you're in trouble. But thank God that God's given us some information. So let's see where we go next, please. Right, so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 22 and a few verses from 63 to 71. This is the trial, or one of the trials, stage one we could call it, where we see Luke's summary of the trials that Jesus has. Luke doesn't tell us the whole story. Someone suggested that Luke is condensing things because he's running out of papyrus. You can only get so much on a page. You know, Luke's letters, Luke's gospel is quite a long gospel, so he'd need to start a new page. Pages in papyrus are expensive, so possibly that's why he trims it, but I'm not sure that's the case. But anyway, we've got to Luke chapter 22, and it says this. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you're the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." So that's all we're looking at today. It's a really important part of the trial of Jesus leading up to his a conviction, we'd say, although it was a fix all the way along, and his final crucifixion. Next then, please. Right. So, the men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. And what I want to bring out, first of all, is that Jesus, who is this Jesus? He's a real human being. And he feels what's going on as well. He's not sort of floating above the ground, all oblivious to it all. And they are mocking him and beating him. And that's the two kinds of abuse that people can suffer from, isn't it? There's the verbal abuse, psychological, to mock Jesus. They're playing mind games with him. And people can be, do you know, people can be really nasty, can't they? Mm-hmm. Now, you may be experienced, I hope you're not one that dishes it out. But, you know, what people say can be really vicious, and I guess they were having a really good go at Jesus at that point in time. And that was painful. So, just to say, Jesus has experienced everything as a human being that you will ever experience. He knows where it is, what it's like. And he's been there. And the physical abuse, they began beating him. We'll see a little bit more of that in a moment. But, you know, they weren't being very nice. They were, I suspect, thinking they were getting even with Jesus. You know, he'd been a threat to them.
And so it's their chance to get even. I've got those words, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can do permanent damage. We don't normally say that, do we? Words will never hurt me, but they know they can do some serious, serious damage. Well, that's what's going on there to start with. Right, next please. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? They're playing the game of hot fist. Have you heard of the game of hot fist? Yes. What do? You have a group of people. I'm not recommending you learn this game, by the way, but yeah, a group of people. And what they do is they blindfold Jesus, and one of them thumped him, and then they all hold out their hands and say, which one hit you? And if you don't get it right, you get hit again. And whether he got it right or wrong would make no difference, because he'd always get it wrong. And that was the game, we call it. Yeah. They were playing. Nasty little lot, aren't they? Yes. Now, the sad thing to my mind is, the danger is, I don't think all of those soldiers were nasty, mean, miserable people. Or whatever. It wasn't soldiers at this point, sorry. All the people that were giving Jesus a rough time, I don't think they were all at the same mean level. But the danger is, when you get in a crowd, the crowd mentality can take over. So you need to watch the company you keep, because it can do serious damage to your normal state. But anyway, there they are, they're doing all that, and which hand hit him there, do you know?
The one that's swollen.
The one that's swollen, yes. It's meant to be broken, that hand, but it looked suitable for being swollen anyway. I picked it up. But why are they doing it? What's the game? What's the object of the game? Well, it's to hurt Jesus, of course. Right? But they're mocking him, and they're having a go at his claim to be a prophet. You know, prophesy is the word they say. Prophesy who hit you, right? You're a supernatural guy, aren't you? You can do it. And, well, that's what they're playing at, of course. Jesus doesn't respond to that type of treatment, you know? Right? And I just say this, God does not respond to your games. Oh, God, prove yourself, sort of thing. Although God's been very merciful. There are times when people have been at their lowest in their lives and they've cried out to God, God, if you're real, help me. And he has. Praise his name. Right? But he's not up to being bullied. Won't work. Right, okay. Next please. And they said many other insulting things to him. The word insults there is blasphemies, but the idea is really it's insults. Just saying nasty things about Jesus, right? People don't understand that even the little insults can harm us just as much as the big ones. Isn't it funny how words stick? When someone says something that's real mean and nasty, might not be much, but it sort of lingers in the mind. Can do anyway, if you're not careful. But Jesus felt all these insults, right? He's a real human being. We're going to see that he bleeds in a while, yes? But Jesus is a real human being. He knows what it's like. Praise his wonderful name. But I want to ask a question there. How did Jesus handle all this abuse? How did Jesus handle it all? How did he? What response did he make? He did nothing. Well, he did nothing, but he's doing everything in a way. He's showing dignity when they're showing their worst. He's handling it in a way that shows he's above it, even though he's suffering it. You know? Jesus is the champion. He's the best. And even in this most terrible of evil, and it's the day for evil to have its time, isn't it really? And Jesus is here, well, abused and ill-treated, and yet the most dignified person around.
And still ready to forgive,
yes. Yeah. Okay, next then please. Right. As soon as it was day, about 5 o'clock in the morning, something like that, as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him to their council. The word council there is Sanhedrin. That was their official religious authority. This is the trial before the religious group. We're going to see later on the trial before the political lot. But Jesus has been tried by this religious group. This is the Supreme Court, we call it today. You know, they were supreme in Israel, except one thing. They couldn't execute anybody. That had been taken from them by the Romans. But anything else, you can kick you out, make life difficult for you, or anything else like that. Okay, so that's the group that have been brought before. It's a legal, and it's Believe, I put legal in inverted commas there. It's a legal meeting. You know why they waited until morning? Because if they had had a meeting, well, they'd been trying him already, but if they'd had a meeting before morning, in the law, it was illegal. So now it's real legal stuff. But it's all lies and nonsense, so it's not legal really. But here we have this group here, and this is the layout, as it would have been for Jesus. There's the high priest, right, on his big old chair. And this is the 35 members on one side, 35 members on the other. There are the clerks, and the accused has got nothing to sit on. He just stands there in front of everybody else. And that's what they would be doing with Jesus. It's, well, they try. You know, these things are set up to intimidate you. You know that, don't you? Yeah. Like when you go for an interview in a place, don't you? Yeah? The boss's desk is always higher than yours, and his chair's always higher than yours. It's meant to make you feel, you know, you're down there. Right? And that's how it's all constructed. Because who's the king in all of this? It's Jesus. Yeah, they don't recognise that, which is sad to say. There we are. Next, please. Right. If you're the Messiah, they said, tell us. Right, so, effectively, because it's a trial situation, they put Jesus under oath. When they say tell us, they're actually saying is, you know, under oath. You've got to say what we custom. That's how it works. That's the legal system, yeah? Right? They're not interested in the answer, are they? Are you the Messiah or not? Tell us. They're not interested if it's true or not. It's a trick. What's the trick? Yes. But there's another reason why they want to know whether he's the Messiah or whether he's claiming to be the Messiah. Yeah, it's in order to bring a civil charge. If they come to the Romans and say, this guy's a blasphemer, we want him put to death, the Romans would say, out. Clear off. Nothing to do with us. Not interested. Yeah? That happened in the book of Acts, when Paul was brought before the authorities, or they tried to, right? And the Roman procurator says, if he's had something to do with a misdemeanor, I'd look at it. But since he's got to do with words and questions of your law, out. And he threw him out. Yeah? Well, that's what would have happened if they brought Jesus on the charge of blasphemy. So what they want is, they want a political charge. Messiah, now you're talking. Because Messiah sounds like a threat to the legal authorities, to the Roman powers. Messiah is another word for king. We don't set up kings around here, the Romans are in charge. You got the idea? So that's what they're after. To try and get Jesus to admit he's Messiah. He's told them long enough, but they want it nice and clear in their court scene. Yes, so that's what it's about. Setting him up. Next then, please. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer me. So he's telling them off, really. He knows what they're up to. Our Lord's never been fooled in his whole existence, right? He knows what they're up to. But he's showing them that their integrity is at fault, not his, of course. Right? So when he says, if I tell you, you won't believe me, he's reminding them of some previous issues and times they bumped into him before. On two particular occasions, we've got John the Baptist. The John the Baptist issue, remember that?
Yeah,
when John the Baptist, this wasn't John the Baptist then, Jesus talking about him. And he said to the authorities, they said to him, who gives you the right to do what you're doing? And Jesus says, well, tell you what, I'll ask you a question, and if you answer my question, I'll tell you. And so he says, John the Baptist, was his authority from God, or did he dream it up himself? That's basically the option he gave. Was John the Baptist on his own, or was he one of God's? Right? And they get a little huddle together, and they say, if we say God's, then he'll say, why didn't you believe him? And if we say he was on his own bat, then the people will stone us, because they think he was. Right? So, they turn up to Jesus and say, we don't know. Of course they know. Right? They know John the Baptist from God, but they didn't want him. They didn't believe him. Right? So we don't know. So Jesus says, I'm not telling you either. So that was the first one. So that was number one question. Whose authority is it? Right? And then the other one was about David's son. Remember, Jesus asked the question about David. Whose son is the Messiah? Is he David's son? And they said, of course he is. Is David's son is the Messiah? Well, just ask funny, Jesus says. He says in Psalm 110, it says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Now if David calls him Lord,
How can he be his son? Right, scratch their heads, they do. Yes. And the answer is, he can be David's son as a human. He's born of David's line. But he's David's Lord because he's God. Right? They don't want to admit that. No, if they have to admit that, they'll be down on their knees before him. Right? And that's not where they're heading. So, both answers are in the Bible, but they're not interested in the answers. They just want to get rid of this Jesus who they see as a threat to their little cosy world. So, next slide, please. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. That's what Jesus' answer is. From now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. That, you may not believe this, or may not realise this, but that's a straight answer. Yeah? The Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
Well, Jesus called himself the Son of Man all the time. Right? And he's saying is, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. If he's going to be seated there, who is he? He's the Messiah. Yes? Right? So that's what he's getting at there. So the point he's saying is, from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of mighty God, of the mighty God. Right? He's answering their question, but he's telling them, think about what the implications of that is. If I am the Messiah, and I'm going to be sitting on the throne, you guys had better learn a few things. Right? He's the judge, and they're judging him. Well, we know his judgment's going to prevail, of course. That's the point, yeah? So the judge is speaking, and he says, this is the start of my exaltation. I'm on the launch pad, you could say, in a sense. Jesus is going to glory. Right? And they're unwittingly involved in that. But Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. It's clear as clear can be. And they know that. Yes. Next slide, please. Right. The Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They know their Bibles. Problem is they didn't believe them. There's a challenge for you, isn't it? There are people who can know the Bible back to front and won't make any difference. Still lost. It's what you believe about it is the issue. In the book of Daniel, Daniel has a vision, and he sees in this vision, he says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So that was written by Daniel, the vision he was given, right? And that was written, what, say, several hundred years before the event, and the Jews had come to understand that passage was about the Messiah. The Son of Man is another word for saying Messiah, because this is no ordinary person. He comes before the Ancient of Days, who is God, right? And he's given all this power, all this authority to rule on God's behalf. That's the Messiah. Yeah? And so they realize when Jesus uses the phrase the Son of Man about himself, he's claiming to be the Messiah. Right? And at the right hand of the mighty God, well, the right hand means he's in a very special place, isn't he? It's not just... Why do they say right hand? Why does the Bible use the word right hand? Because it's usually most of us are right-handed. It's the strong hand. It's the executive hand. Yeah? The one that signs all the authority stuff. Yeah? And so Jesus is at the right. So he's a divine being. He's got all this power and authority. The divine being with divine authority. That's quite a claim, isn't it? And it's true of Jesus. Right. Next slide, please. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? That's the logic. They've got it. If Jesus claims to be the Messiah, then he's also claiming to be the Son of God. Yeah, the two go together. You can't separate them. Right? Son of David, yes, but David's Lord. Yes. So, are you then claiming to be the Son of God? He had said that he was the Son of Man, but they recognize the divine use of the term, and so their question follows on from that. Yes. Are you then the Son of God? Right. And again, this is their chance. They're not really asking that because they're interested, although perhaps a bit puzzled by it. This is a chance to discredit Jesus with the people, because they're going to say he's blasphemed. And you know, when they start saying blasphemy to a religious group, it can send him, and he did. So that's their aim again, you see. So, their chance to discredit Jesus with the people. Next, please. Right. He replied, "You say that I am." Right. Now then, did Jesus say yes, or was it, "You said it"?
No, in its own way, he said,
"You." Right. You see, the problem, there have been critics of the Bible, they say Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Right? Because he says, "You said it." Right?
So you know.
Right? And so they've said, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. The problem with them is, they don't know Jews. It's a Jewish way of speaking. Right? "You said it" is a clear, unambiguous way, a Jewish way of answering, "Yes, I am the Son of God." Right? Yeah. Right, that's, you got that? Jesus is clearly saying, "Yes." Yeah. Well, when he says, "You said it," it's just a Jewish way of saying, "Was it?" There was a joke told. Just to illustrate that, a young rabbi had gone to visit an old friend, an ancient and well-respected rabbi, and while he was there, the poor old bloke died. Right, and he came out of his house, and there were other people around, and they said he looked really white. Worried and everything else. And they said, "Is everything all right? What about so and so? Is he all right?" They said, "Is he all right? Is he dead?" He said, "You said it." You got the point, yeah? He didn't like to say straight out in one sense. What he meant was yes, of course. Well, Jesus doesn't need to apologize for saying yes. But that's the way he spoke. Is it you? Right. Okay. Right. Next, please. And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." So they are confirming that what they heard was a yes. Yeah. Why do we need any more testimony? We've got what we want. Right. He said it. Yes. So they're confirming. Message received. They heard him say, "Yes, I am the Son of God." And so they now attempt to claim that Jesus is guilty of blasphemy. Right? That's what they're going to do. They try to claim Jesus is guilty of blasphemy in order to set the public against him. Right? That's their object. We've said that before. Yeah? And it's almost a repeat, although it's got worse in the sense of an occasion beforehand when they asked Jesus whether he was the Son of God. And he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Right? Which is another way of saying, "I've been around before Abraham." That's another way of saying, "I'm the Son of God." Right? Yeah. And what did they do? They picked up stones to stone him. Yeah. And Jesus says, "What are you going to stone me for?" They said, "What have I done?" And he said, "We're not stoning you for what you've done. We're going to stone you for what you said. Because you, just a man, are claiming to be God's Son." And well, it didn't happen at that time because Jesus veered away out of the situation. But the point I'm getting at is this. If Jesus were there, if he wasn't, he would be. You know what I mean? If he wasn't the Son of God, he would be blaspheming. But he isn't. Of course he is. Right, next slide, please. Right, now then, Jesus declared to the leaders of Israel that he's both their Messiah and God's Son. Those people there, they will never be able, they're dead now, of course, but they would have never been able to stand before God and say, "We never heard." Well, they did hear. Whether they believed him later or not, I don't know. But they've got no excuses now. Right? And they have heard. And in a very real way, Jesus is confessing before them, as was the case when Peter made his confession before Jesus. At Caesarea Philippi, there's the place. It was a pagan shrine. And Jesus had gone, that was as far north as he went before he came south again. And Jesus says, "Who do people say I am?" And they say, "Well, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Some say this, some say that. But what about you?" Now this is a question for you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Who do you say Jesus is? Right? And Peter pipes up, speaking for the rest of them. He says, "You're the Messiah, the Son of God. Those two things. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Peter is told by Jesus, you're a blessed man, Peter. And I'll tell you why he was blessed. He says, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't figure that out yourself, Peter. That was shown you by my Father. God has helped you to see who I am. And you know that's true today for all of us. If you've come to know who Jesus is, God's been at work in your heart. And if you want to know who Jesus is, and you don't know him yet, ask God to work in your heart to reveal who Jesus is. And I'll tell you what the answer will be. He's the Messiah and the Son of God. Right? That's what you get. And the reason why it matters, I've got a verse for you. The reason why it matters, John, in his Gospel, right at the end of his Gospel, says this. The reason he wrote his Gospel, which is in verse 30, he says this. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in his book. So he did a lot more, I've been selected. He says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's why it's important to believe Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, because if you believe that, you're going to have eternal life. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Amen. Right, next slide, please. Right, so here's the core of our Christian faith. That's what I'm really trying to get at, yeah? The core of our Christian faith, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Messiah. The word Messiah means anointed. Yes? He's someone who's had oil poured on them, anointing oil, yes? He's God's anointed chosen agent. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed to mark them out as kings. Jesus is the King, King of Kings. Lord of Lords, right? So, the Messiah is the King, as we saw in that Daniel passage. Yeah. Right? The Messiah is also seen as the great deliverer of God's people. God raised up, you read in the book of Judges, the Israelites went off the track, things got bad, and then it says God raised up to them a deliverer. Sort of a Messiah. Well, the ultimate is Jesus. He's the great deliverer for us, yeah? And the prophets tell of his eternal kingdom, as Daniel did. He is the Lord of time and of eternity too. So that's who the Messiah is. And then the term the Son of God is an important term as well. The Son of God means he's divine. He's not created. You get that? Right? Now, I just had to tell you about the Jehovah's Witnesses have got this seriously wrong. Yes? If you read John's Gospel in the translation that they use, the New World Translation, they say, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Yes? The Word was a God, and all other things were created through him. They're saying that Jesus isn't God, he's a God. I've got news for you. There's no room for more than one God. He is or he isn't. Yes? Right? And not all other things were created through him, but he wasn't created first. You know? He created everything. Right? So, he's divine, he's not created, and he bears the true image of God. You want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. He's the one that shows you what God is like. Because he's got the nature of God, his Father. Yeah. Right, okay, so that's that. And then he's the Father's appointed agent of salvation and judgment, because he's at God's right hand. He's your judge. Friends, you're going to see him one of these days. Right? Is he going to be on your side, or are you going to be against him? Because if you're against him, you're in big trouble. Yeah. Good to have the judge on your side, isn't it, eh? Yeah. Amen to that. Right, and then lastly of all, he's worthy of praise and worship. We're to bow the knee before him as the Son of God. We worship him, you know? And a lovely instant, when, just to take you back to the time when Jesus had appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. He rose from the dead, you know. You knew that, didn't you? He rose from the dead, appears to the disciples, and one was missing. Dear old Thomas. Yes? And Thomas, when he's told that Jesus is alive, Thomas says, I'm not believing it, get everything on. And it was a week later that Jesus appears and says to Thomas, Thomas, come have a look. Holes in the hand at the side. Yeah? It's really me. Thomas didn't touch Jesus. What did he do? He bowed down before him, he worshipped Jesus, and he said, my Lord and my God.
Right? He's just recognised, really recognised, Jesus is Messiah and the Son of God. That's important. Right. Next then, please. And I think that's the last one. Yes. From now on, he said, Jesus says, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. This, the strange thing is, this was brought about by their evil actions. Wasn't it? They're plotting to kill Jesus, and that's, he says, now he's going to be exalted. I'm on my way. Right? And it was through their evil schemes. But, of course, who set it all in motion? Jesus has chosen the time. They said, we can't do it during the feast, there'll be a riot. Jesus says, it's going to be in the feast, right? Yeah. And so he's got it all, he's in control, is what I'm getting at. Yeah. So he's setting all these events in motion, right? And so here we have in this coming of Jesus, the climax of the prophet's words and of Israel's history, the Messiah has come. He has. And you can know who he is. Is that wonderful, eh? Right? But the other part of the story is, of course, this is the problem that the Jews had, and some Jews still have. How can the Messiah be killed? He comes in glory and majesty, and he comes as a great deliverer. How can the Messiah be killed? Well, the answer is, he comes twice. He came first to save, next time he comes to deliver. Right? So he's coming back again in glory and majesty. Will you be ready for it? Are you trusting him? Do you believe he's the Messiah, the promised one of God? If he is, he's your king. You better do as he says. If he's the Son of God, he's to be worshipped. So God gets the glory and all that's going on. Well, we're going to be celebrating his death for us and his resurrection in a moment, but let's just pray, shall we? And sing a song to celebrate. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son. Lord, you sent him on a mission to set free those who were held captive by sin. Lord, we're here today because, Lord, by your grace, we've begun to understand who Jesus is. Not just any old prophet, not just somebody who was good and kind and who had an unfortunate accident. Lord, we thank you, you are the Son of God, the one that was chosen to come into our world to bring salvation through your death on that cross. We bless you, Lord, what you accomplished, what you set out to do. And now, risen and seated at the Father's right hand, Lord, are running this universe to bring everything together ultimately, that every knee will bow at your name and give you glory. Lord, we're here today to say thank you for saving us. Have mercy on us and help us, Lord, to live for you and to worship you, our Saviour and our King. We ask you, blessed Father, in Jesus' name.